Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Main Street Universe.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
Alright, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Main Street Universe. We've been on the air for 3 years now. We've never missed a Wednesday, our Wednesday being our flagship show that myself and Kevin Baird started, which is now a network of 6 shows, and I'll go over those very briefly. Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, but tonight at a special time at 11 because of the holidays, is the flagship show Main Street Universe with myself, associate producer Janice R. White, and Brett Hillman. On Thursdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, we have Uatau with Queen Mother Imaku. Queen Mother Imaku is a high priestess in the African-Egyptian Kemetic tradition, and she offers original language prayers and all sorts of great, lot of information packed into that hour. 2 p.m., Queen Mother Imaku, who has the prestige, I guess, on the network of being a Queen of Cups representation on a tarot card for the New York Tarot. On Friday evenings at 12 midnight, we have Jessie and Nichols George with her show Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. Jessie is an author of 4 books, Activating Compassion, Activating Compassion, the Workbook, as well as You, Me, Like Dreams, and its companion workbook. And that one should be interesting because it's about relationships. So tune in to Jesse and Nicholas George at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, midnight, Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. Then Sundays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, we have Darren Boucare, who is a palmistry and tarot reader and intuitive consultant, at Marie Laveau's House of Voodoo in the magical city of New Orleans. 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Darren has a great, unusual style. He's been on TV. He's been on Ellen DeGeneres. He's done readings for one of the cast members of Twilight, and that made television. So he has, being at that store, it's a well-known occult bookstore, so Darren gets some interesting clientele coming in and out of Marie Laveau's. 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Main Street Universe. Then at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, I believe, is Kevin Baird with the show Walking on the Sidewalk, A Horizon Oracle's Journey. Kevin is an artist. Kevin created the Horizon Oracle deck, a series of oracle cards created from his own visions after years of reading the tarot, as well as he has creations in vases, tomato, I guess, and frozen smoke. And he can be found at www.templeofgaia.com and can be reached for private readings as well. And he'll be joining us tonight if anyone calls for a reading. Then, of course, on Tuesdays, we normally have Susan Weed, the Master Herbal Healer. She discusses issues of women's health, as well as psychology of healing and herbal natural medicine. And she's big into the roots as well, such as dandelion and the simple things, burdock and dandelion. She believes in a simple herbal cabinet can heal a lot of things, especially with the right frame of mind. She's on 10 p.m. Eastern Time. She does another show. This particular one is an educational show she does where she teaches about how to use the different herbs. It's on for a half hour, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, every Tuesday evening. She'll be back January 6th, I believe. She had a couple-week break here. And then, of course, there's going to be some rotating shows that come and go monthly. We're trying to bring back our Earthlight Radio, as well as Mary Phelan. I've been talking to her. We'll be returning to do a monthly show. She's the host of Telepathic TV. And Janice R. White, my co-host on Wednesday, also is hostess of the World Reggae Party, and we may be playing recordings of that on Friday, and she may do a women's spirituality show as well. So we have a whole bunch of shows. Some are here, some were here, they're coming back monthly, so you keep tuning in and you'll find out where all these great hosts come, and they bring some amazing guests and some amazing practices on the Main Street Universe Radio Network. It's grown a lot in the last 3 years. And I see on the phone, I'm clicking on his microphone now, is my co-host, Mr. Kevin Baird. Welcome, Kevin.
Hello, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. Merry Christmas. How was your holiday? How was your Christmas day?
It was good. I got to spend it with all my family. We got together early because, you know, with in-laws and everything, they're traveling out of state to go and be with other people, too. So they're a traveling band of holidayers. So I'm here with Merlin on my 25th of December, but it's Merlin, all good, you know, because I sort of look at every day as sort of like Christmas or as a Saturday, just because I've been self-employed, you know, living on the sidewalk, working on the sidewalk, not living on the sidewalk, but, you know, our mission statement is, what are we doing now that we're living life beyond the cube?
Outside of the corporate cube.
Yes.
And those of you unfamiliar with what we're talking about, when we started Main Street Universe, we had a mission statement of being a show that, at least in large part, as well as discussing things being metaphysical, esoteric, magic, issues of nature, art, music, science, we as well wanted to motivate people to step outside of the corporate cube, meaning making your own life, being your own job. And we also know it's a very difficult process. Kevin once had a high-paying job that was more in the comfortable range, and then I won't go too much into your own history, Kevin, but then you left it for whatever reasons and started making a life out of the things you're passionate about. And it is its own freedom, it's its own adventure, but it can be its own reward, because risk is one of the foundations of reward, if you really think of it. And I know it's
scary. Yeah, because I was living in the corporate world to help somebody else achieve their dream primarily.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm out living mine.
Absolutely. And I'm in a building process and living much better than I was since I left the very mundane job I was at. And I would have jumped out of the building. I would have jumped off the top of it if I was still there. So sometimes it can seem less secure, but then sometimes I can make much larger amounts of money in short spurts, sort of. So it's learning to manage, learning to self-discipline in certain ways. It's an interesting and fantastic journey. And
yes,
as Earl Nightingale says in his great motivational speech, The Strangest Secret, one of my favorite motivational speeches, he says, we've come to a point in modern society, and he was saying this in the 1960s, folks, saying where we've come to deify leisure time. Put leisure time as almost a godlike thing, and we sometimes forget that doing your work, not just working, but doing your work, he would say do your work. It is from doing your work that you find the most pleasure and satisfaction and the most reward. Not from the time that you spent with downtime, you know, watching YouTube videos, I've done it, we've all done it, or playing a video game, but the time spent doing the work that you love is where you learn your lessons. It's where you progress. It's how you grow. And there's so much wasted time, and I'm completely guilty of that, and especially in my youth. I'm still young. I'm 42. But when I was in my 20s, I wasted a lot of time. And at first, it was wasted time thinking I was trying to be a musician. But I had no game plan at all. I was just winging it. And it was a fun life for a while, because I was paying for myself, just playing music. But since I had such a lack of vision, I couldn't keep it going. I had no discipline at all, and I had no vision at all. I was really shooting from the hip. So that was meeting the philosophy of Main Street Universe about halfway. I wasn't taking it into myself. I was just winging it and doing it, but not really doing it wisely. So I was trying to step out of the corporate cube, and the keyword there was trying. And I wasn't doing it, and I wasn't doing it well, but I had some fun. But of course, we make mistakes when we're young, and the amount of partying going on there was legendary. But I did learn a lot. I learned, as you often say, I learned how not to be. And I learned a lot about the music business, learned a lot about the way clubs work and club owners work. There's a, you know, I don't really believe in hell, but I think there's a special place in there for the old club owner. And many of the musicians out there will agree with me. There's a great thing that was passed around on Facebook where it said, who would take $5,000 worth of equipment, put it into a $500 car, to go make $50, and that would be a musician. And then these club owners would argue with you about that. So you learn certain tricks. And I remember one musician I had on the show said he would take plastic, he called it the plastic army man trick, and he would clog the club owner's toilets with it. And say, your toilets are going to be clogged if you don't pay us, and the plumber's going to cost a lot more than we did. But I don't want to dig too deep into that. But
funny.
When you're in the dark nightlife world, sometimes things happen. I'm not really in that life or that world right now, necessarily, though it is 11:13 at night. But it was an interesting stretch. But I still play, and I still plan on being a musician. And art will always be a part of what I do. So, Kevin, your family in Illinois, you sort of had a return. And for those of you that are out there listening that are unaware, Kevin has somewhat of a mystical background. His grandfather was a dowser. And but the little Midwestern town that, without divulging too much information, that you find yourself in often now, maybe you're not in as many conversations of gnosis or metaphysics. And how is that journey going for you?
It's like I'm a stranger in a strange land. And it's not that it's a bad land or whatever. It's, I feel like I'm that Gulliver in, what's that place where he ended up on that island?
Yes, Lilyfoot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the interesting thing about being in those times, especially when it's like a return home for you, I guess, and even for myself at different times, is that it can bring you to a point of lots of learning experiences. Like you start talking to people that clearly do not have the same look upon the universe as you do. However, you start to learn about maybe why they think that way, because you start living it, and you start living in that world and with them. I'm in Northern Virginia right now, and if those of you that don't know much about Northern Virginia, when you think Virginia, you might think, oh, okay, maybe a little more redneck holy roller thing. Northern Virginia is a very enlightened place, and Kevin will attest to that. He used to live here. Right outside D.C., it's incredibly multicultural, incredibly tolerant spiritually. You know, you can walk around with, you know, whatever, a pentacle, or nobody will bother you here for that kind of thing. And there's something to be learned from both types of locations. Because one here is very, you know, a lot of Hindu population, Muslim population, a pagan population here, as well as agnostics and everything else. And in a more holy roller area, like when I lived in Pensacola, Florida, you learn how to blend and melt. Like I remember doing an electrical job for a very holy roller sort of church. And he, just from talking to me, even though I'm not of that same religious background, he called me later that night after doing the job, and he's like, I can tell you're the kind of guy that has God in you. You know, you're very spiritual. You were excellent. Thank you for, I'm an electrician, and I was doing work for him. And in truth, you know, we had plenty in common. He was a nice person. I don't see things eye to eye with them, how they saw it, but I was able to communicate and make a connection with him and talk about the importance of believing in something beyond just the mundane physical, because I've always been fascinated by church anyway. Just the idea that people would actually go somewhere to and spend their time, their resources, their money, raise their kids there, and for something that's all about something above and beyond the everyday mundane routine. I could say something above and beyond themselves, but I think it's a part of themselves, and it's not necessarily above. It is them. And I hear the crowd upstairs starting to wind down a little. We were winding down after dinner, and I mixed myself a little drink here as well. And we were playing the game Apples to Apples. I don't know if you've played that game.
I have not.
I had not either before this evening. Now, Kevin, you are the creator of the Horizon Oracle, a series of Oracle cards, and you have a book out now, and thought maybe you could talk about the book a little bit, The Horizon Oracle Companion.
Yes, I have been working on the Horizon Oracle for about 4 or 5 years, and really, as I was working on it, I was also a student of it as well. So, I really didn't, like, at first, started out, I call it a million years ago, where I was driving along and I got an idea that I needed to compose my own deck because the tarot was not giving me the higher definition of images or guidance for the clients that I was working for that the tarot was. So the tarot was great for a while, but I sort of graduated myself from it. I was coping with it, and I was sort of thinking about it with my intuition, and I call my intuition into a personification with my creativity, Stacy, which is sort of like my spirit guide. and that notion source was saying that I should create my own. I'm like, oh my God, that's going to take forever, like two or three lifetimes. So I just sat out, set out and just started doing it. And I got myself one of those little sketchbooks from the local art shop and just started drawing. So I didn't have any titles, any definitions, nothing. I just went with the images that I got and wrote them into that little sketchbook with a little charcoal pencil. And then I found a way to turn them into something more significant. I created like a little frame that was a blank frame, which as you guys look at the Horizon Oracle today, we'll see the frame going around the scene. And that was the frame that I started out with, and I would take the scenes from the sketchbook and put it into the frame and sort of like make it fit.
Mm-hmm. And I'd like to welcome as well, and we'll get back to it, Kevin, Kia Hypnosis into the chat room. I think I've seen that name a few times now, so good to see a repeat listener. And if you're in the chat room, we don't have anybody on the line, probably because it's 11 o'clock at Christmas. But if you want to type in a question for a reading in the chat room, feel free to do so, anyone that's in the chat room, and we'll pull a few cards and see what comes up. So welcome, good to see your name in the chat room again. And last night, Kevin, you mentioned Spirit Guide. Last night we were talking about Gnosis a little bit with our guest who was discussing Vedic astrology. And the concept of Gnosis has, of course, always been fascinating to me because that is the idea of trance, of exploration, versus the idea that answers have been handed to you. More of the holy roller, though I'm not insulting anyone's religion, I'm just saying, but more of a fundamentalist approach to spirituality is that approach of, okay, well, here's the answer, and then all you have to do is work within this answer. Whereas a Gnosis approach is, here are some techniques, and if you engage in these spiritual techniques, whether they be, you know, meditation, trance, the eight path, as you probably know from your Gardnerian days, there were the eight ways to get into the right frame of mind, whether that be, you know, a trance, or whether that be energy raising and dancing, whatever, there's a bunch of different stuff, drums, even substances. But the Gnosis side of it, as Carl Jung and some of the other great intellectuals spoke of, is this, the side of you're exploring. You're an explorer. The answers haven't all been handed to you. Not even from a magic standpoint they haven't. Something's been handed to you, and then you take it from, and that's what I like about you, and that's why you and I always got along so well, because you took something beyond where you found it and said, okay, well, I'm creating my own series of cards. And in this case, in the case of an oracle deck, but you're like that anyway. You come up with your own techniques, even though you have traditional training. Like I said, you were once a Gardnerian as well as other shamanic trainings and medicine wheel and stuff. So I think that's why you and I always got along so well, because we've always understood, I think, the both of us, that it is an exploration. You respect the traditions. You respect the traditional approach. You respect all religions and all spirituality, but there's nothing wrong with being an explorer. So I wanted you to mention, you had had one time, Kevin, a technique you mentioned about contacting a spirit guide that I thought was kind of a cute technique. I don't know if you came up with it or it was just one you told me. And I was wondering if you can go into that one. It was something to do with a bus stop. Do you remember that one?
I do, where it's just you put yourself on some corner, street corner somewhere, and that you sit at the bus stop chair and you wait for the bus to pull up or someone to walk up and sit down with you or whatever, or if nobody shows up, that's fine too. And then you look at them and see what they look like and what are they talking about, and what's happening on the street, that kind of thing. I have a vivid imagination, so that really works for me. It may not work really well for other people, but that's how I did it. How about you, Daniel?
Yeah, I remember you mentioning that one, because you said something about picture you're on a, you know, like get into a meditation and then picture you're on a park bench. And I think the way you said it to me that day, because I'm sure you did variations like people always do, you said picture the buses whizzing by and what's the who's the first person you see on the other side of the street, you know, between the buses whizzing by. And I remember seeing a certain, you know, image. And then you said, and it's okay if that image is, of course, someone you know, because your mind will do that anyway. Like it could be Matt Damon, it could be Johnny Depp, it could be a celebrity. And I think what I liked about what you said is the idea that it's almost like a fake it till you make it thing. Like at first what you'll get is that something's trying to come through, and just continue to talk to that. And eventually, almost like the real one will step into that suit in a way. If that makes sense, if I didn't butcher that.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Yeah. What I tell people today is I say to sort of just pull together your creativity and intuition into a personification, or if you want a spirit guide, why do you want a spirit guide? Do you want it to help you with, you know, being better at what you do, or help you talk to spirits, or what? If, like, let's say, you know, talking to people who passed away, if you want to be a medium, you imagine this person being sort of like a doorman or something who is helping people get to their destination, or get in or get out or move along,
right,
or whatever.
Imagining a being, creating like their energy form, and then you're saying that a real spirit guide sort of energy will come and fill that form, because it's almost like sending out a beacon or light energetically.
Well, you don't really know how you want or what you want your spirit guide to do. It's like hiring somebody to help you with a job or a business you just started yourself or had been doing for like 2 or 3 years, and now know you need help. You're not really sure what kind of help you're going to need, because some areas we're real control freaks and we don't let anybody in whatsoever, and then other areas that we're free to give up. Now we have to discover that as we work with that individual.
And that goes back to the exploration. You think you know, or you think you want something, and then as the journey goes on, you suddenly may discover, I'm getting something else out of this entirely than when I initially went into it.
And could be far better.
Yeah. Most people come into it for curiosity, experiences, wondering what they can do with magic, all of that sort of thing. Nothing necessarily wrong with any of that. Those are natural human curiosities. And sometimes you find yourself on a very deep internal journey, almost forgetting the initial, I don't want to say shallow, because, hey, desire is desire, I guess, almost forgetting some of the initial, maybe, material things you were getting into it in the first place. And you find yourself searching through your dreams and searching through your visions, meditations, readings, divinations, whatever the case may be. For me, I'm a powerful dreamer, so there's a lot of dream research stuff that goes on, a lot about body experiences, and one of those things that brings a lot of people to that sort of the metaphysical dance, if you will. So many people say, well, it was a vivid dream or it was an out-of-body experience, and that was definitely what brought me to the research of the occult studies and the great mystics. And I mean, I've always been fascinated by those characters that have been a little bit mystical in sort of conservative areas of life, and that sort of have a mercurial or, you know, Hermes, hermetic way of being able to slide in and out of one area and next. And then there are the great rebels, like the Aleister Crowleys and such. But there were some people in the same organization that Crowley was in that blended in with society without calling themselves the Beast and all of this. The most famous and likable one, I think, might be William Butler Yeats. He was also in the Golden Dawn. He was a great, beautiful poet, great poet. And he viewed magic and mysticism and all that as something beautiful to be incorporated with life, not something to be calling yourself the Beast over and all of this. But Crowley was reacting to very fundamentalist parents that were a bit oppressive. They were part of a very oppressive fundamentalist order. So he never got over the let's shock the fundies kind of thing. And other people in his same organization, you know, slid in and out of normal, even somewhat conservative circles quite elegantly versus the harshness, which he fed off that harshness. I'm not trying to make this show about Crowley, but it is an interesting dynamic to study and where it takes people according to where they've come from and according to what they think the occult or mysticism can do for them. So some people do see it as a tool of rebellion. Some see it as something to incorporate naturally and peacefully into the everyday and can do so with great ease. It's sometimes expressed in the way the older and slightly younger pagans act. Some of the, without getting too personal on anybody, some of the older pagans, extremely rebellious, sex parties, nudity, again, not judgmental here, I'm just saying, maybe not as good a lifestyle, whereas younger ones just incorporate it as part of their life naturally. It's part of their belief. They believe in magic and paganism and not necessarily, you know, the overweight stereotypes that happen from the older generations. Maybe not the sex parties, or maybe so, depending on what they're doing. But I do notice a slight divide in that. Some of the rebelliousness out of it, and some more of just incorporating it into their lives with some of the younger generation pagans. But that's just a personal observation. It's not across the board, I guess. Whereas it's normalizing a little bit. People, I think, have made a decision that they've decided they want to believe in a certain amount of magic. They want to believe in a certain amount of metaphysics and want to have esoteric debates versus just writing it all off and saying it's all hokey. And if they say it's in your mind, well, that's great because the mind's incredibly powerful and undiscovered country.
Nice Star Trek reference there.
Thank you. I was hoping you would notice. We're going to take just a short break, Kevin, and play a song from a musician that was on our show, Miss Kellyanna, and this is Blessed Are We.
Blessed are we in the awakening dawn. Blessed are we. Blessed are we in the light of the day, as we enjoy the earth turning. Blessed are we as the twilight descends, and the magic of dusk is upon us. And blessed are we in the dark of the night, as we slip into dreams that are calling. Blessed are we in the awakening dawn. Blessed are we in the morning. Blessed are we in the light of the day, as we enjoy the magic.
Friend Kellyanna, she's been on the show. Kevin, you're back on the air as well. She was a great guest. In fact, Kevin and I saw her live here the week she was on our show. If you remember, Kevin, it was at Sticks and Stones.
Yep, she's an inspiration.
She played the show there just with her drum and guitar. There was no microphone or anything. It was a pretty small room, so that was possible. And her voice was big. Her voice filled up the place.
With 100 people in it.
It was amazing how many people fit into that tiny little New Age shop. We did not think that many people were going to be there. For a small little store. Which reminds me, Kevin, we did mention at the top of the hour that no one has called. I had a feeling there might not be much in the way of callers. Being at Christmas at 11:37. So maybe we'll just flip some cards to keep true to the title, that it was sort of a divination Christmas party here.
Sure.
And I see Kia is typing something. I'm curious if they're typing a request or no. Feel free if you wish. Typing. Okay, yes, feel free, Kia, chat questions, perfectly good. It'll actually get things rolling. And I'm opening my box now. I don't know if you've ever seen my box that I've put the Horizon Oracle in.
I don't think so. Keep that private, I think.
Yeah. Well, I like having a container, like a special container, for all my divination decks, whether the tarot or oracle. So Kia, if I'm saying that right, Key Hypnosis, is asking a question, I think, in the chat room, which actually was working out just fine because I'm in a limited space here and I'm setting up my card area. Okay, Kia, Kevin wants to know about their hypnotherapy practice in 2014. Maybe you can start it off, and then I'll join in.
You said Kia, Kevin wants to know.
No, I said Kevin, Kia, yeah, or I might have said that. I was reading from the thing. I was saying Kevin, Kia wants to know. Kia says, I am curious about my hypnotherapy practice in 2014.
I would say that you could see something connecting with you tomorrow, if not this week, because I work with my Horizon Oracle, and I'm looking at the tomorrow card facing you, and then you can find out what we're looking at. Let me just put the chat or the hang on. There, I just put the link to the chat or to my website for where the images are. You can go hop over there and look for the 4 o'clock cards and go and find 408, and you can see three people standing there with boxes. I used to call this the UPS card, where it's like the guaranteed overnight delivery kind of thing. So I just decided to call it the tomorrow card so I wouldn't associate it with any of the delivery people that are out there, whether it's pizza, UPS, American Express, or what is it, FedEx, yeah. So it looks like something could be coming in for you as quickly as within the next 24 hours. And I read and I design the Horizon Oracle for people to get information that they could expect to see happen or come close to within the next 90 seconds out to like 90 days. So this is saying that something you could hear about could start as early as tomorrow, and then the follow-up, the companion to this card also facing you, is the projects card, and it's associated with the time 7:17. And the projects card is about some kind of project that you're starting, because it's you and there's a chisel and there's a hammer there and there's a block of marble that could take you some 10 years to work on. So as I see it, you got a window of like 30 days that's going to begin things that could last you for some 10 years. So I say prosperous. You know, what you get in, what you put into it is what you get out of it. That's what I see. Daniel, what do you got?
Well, I see a lot of commitment here. By that I mean it's making sure this is absolutely what you want. I see help coming, and this is kind of a funny one, but it's help coming from the West. Someone from the West may actually come to help you with this, some sort of good contact. That's going to take, I'm going to say, about 5 weeks. But some kind of help. Now, with the timing of these, like Kevin said, it could be somebody that calls you tomorrow, and maybe then the help comes a little later. But it ends up with a card that, of course, Kevin's familiar with, because he created the deck, which is the Want card associated with the time 10 o'clock. So it's something you're passionate about. This is, as it says quite literally in one of the definitions, as I've seen Kevin, I've seen the definitions evolve, but I see this card meaning you, almost like a self-love card, like continue to follow self-love, continue to follow your heart and soul, and make sure that it's what you want to do. I'm trying to think of the only dark horse in this, I guess, and that is with the Understand card in reverse, which isn't bad. It just means there are some details that are not exactly clear, and sometimes you feel like people aren't hearing you, or you're not being seen enough, and you're not being understood enough in these working relationships or even marketing relationships. But it is showing me, I'm going to say, if you really plug at it and look for help, I'm seeing that maybe there's a little bit of help involved in this is what I'm getting. I'm getting from it that it could be someone from the West or from west of where you are, even if you're already very west. But someone from the western part is going to help you, and again, it's staying focused and keep doing it, keep following your heart, and it's, I think it'll work out. And I'm going to pull This one.
Mm-hmm.
And this one. In fact, again, I'm getting a strong vibe of a little bit of help, maybe even a partner in this. And I'm kind of getting that over and over again. And to end it is the Past Lives card in reverse. And that one is about, again, having experience, having help with someone that you have known before, but keeping an ear out, keep listening. The listening card was one of them in this reading. To wrap it up for a takeaway, I see what Kevin did, but I'm also seeing, though you might not expect it or might not think it's right, might not think it's proper or aren't even thinking about it, I'm seeing you succeeding if you get some kind of help. It may be partner up with somebody, some kind of link, some kind of help. And it may actually turn out to be a very, like I said, past lives in reverse. That's someone you've known before. Mm-hmm. Oh, you've done past life regression. Okay. Well, that's interesting. So maybe it was speaking to that a bit. That's an interesting twist. But again, the overall vibe I'm getting, I'm seeing a partnership, whether you plan on one or not, to help you. I'll just pick one more. And again, Spirit Audience, an incredibly good card to get. Spirit Audience is the card saying that just about how it sounds.
Give the times for those.
Spirit Audience is associated with the time 101. And it's, again, I'm saying it's just as it sounds. The forces of the universe, the spirits are watching and they approve. But again, the hang on card is after that. So there's still that little bit of, okay, well, wait a minute, it's going to take a little bit. And again, I think what's going to take a little bit is that it's going to take some kind of partnership. Because someone is having trouble and you could help them and they could help you. Because the hang on card is about someone else around you or in that world maybe needing help or being a little out of control, and perhaps you both act as stabilizers for each other. But as far as spiritually and desire and all of that, and even past lives, there seems to be, those are the kind of cards in Kevin's deck that could almost amount to what you would call in the tarot as the major arcana. They're kind of spiritual cards, where some is more physical and more practical in those ways. But when you get past lives and when you get, a few of the cards in his deck like that, like soulmates and stuff like that, these are partnerships and these are important and they're deep and... So, again, I'm not saying force the issue. I'm just saying the most helpful thing for your 2014 year of your hypnosis practice takeoff is I'm seeing some kind of teaming up with a like-minded, almost like similar souled being that's going to help out. But with Spirit Audience shining upon that, that could definitely be really good news, because that's almost sort of saying, hey, you're really meant to, or at least meant to go through this. You're meant to experience this and meant to learn and grow and be in this. And like Kevin says, I believe you said, Kevin, something like 10 years. This could be very prosperous.
Yeah, something happening over the next week or so sort of gives you a power or an idea or something, or you have like a stroke of luck or something, or have a eureka moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then it lasts you for some 10 years.
And it's a matter of getting it, finding it. The want card is two eyes, but it's about your desires, you know, but it's going, it's seeking. And the other one was listen, again, listening. Keep your eyes and ears open. for a potentially really good partner to come and help make all of this happen. I think you
the
can do it.
The one card is associated with the time 10 o'clock.
Yes.
So you can go and check that out.
Because we get that thing, especially those of us in the metaphysical community, it's very easy for us to do the lone wolf thing, because we do. Kevin does to a degree, but he teams up with me on Main Street Universe. You know, a lot of times readers, for example, what are they doing? They're by themselves, right? They're promoting themselves. They're completely promoting themselves in a sea of other people promoting themselves. It's very easy to fall into the lone wolf category. And you're doing something similar. It's a hypnosis business. It's so easy to fall into that self-promotion, which is good, and it's healthy, and it's all of those things. But having help and getting a partner can be productive and amazing, and remembering you're not always out there on your own, I guess. And then, so in the cards I was getting, there were definitely everything Kevin was saying, but with help finding some sort of partner, business partner, working relationship partner, to get to that next level, basically. So
yeah, that's all I have.
I hope that helped. And again, I'd like to remind everyone that Main Street Universe is a network of 6 shows. This one you're listening to now is normally on at 9, and it's the flagship show, Main Street Universe, with myself, associate producer Janice R. White, and Brett Hellman. Then on Thursdays we have at 2 p.m., our one daytime show, Queen Mother Imaku with her show Watau. She's a high priestess of the Kemetic African tradition. And lots of original language prayers and other interesting things and incantations and imagery and art and all sorts of things. And then on Friday at midnight, Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, Jesse and Nicholas George, the author of 4 books. Jesse has a show that's all about motivation, self-help, and her newest book is all about relationships. Well, the newest two, Yumi Like Dreams and its workbook. It's sort of men from Mars, women from Venus, but I think more advanced and more mature. So at 12 midnight. Then Sunday, 7 p.m., Darren Bouquer, Spiritual Insight. He's a reader at Marie Laveau's House of Voodoo, the magical city of New Orleans. And Darren, oh, you're very welcome, Key. And feel free to call back, by the way, Key Hypnosis. We have Kevin on Monday and Darren on Sunday, as I was just saying. Darren, and he'll be on the air this Sunday. And Darren is a reader at Marie Laveau's House of Voodoo in New Orleans. He does palm reading, which, of course, doesn't interpret to radio very well. I guess unless people send pictures in. We actually considered doing that at one point, preparing a palm reading show with him and having people sending detailed, like, really, you know, penned up, accurate pictures of their palm just to see if we could make it work. Don't know yet, but we might do that. And then, of course, Monday, Kevin Baird, 10 p.m., walking on the sidewalk. He's joining me this evening. He is the founder, co-creator of the Main Street Universe Radio Network. He'll be reached at www.templeofgaia.com. And we have our rotating shows we're going to be bringing in and out. And then Susan Weed on Tuesday evenings, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. But she's gone for a couple weeks, but she'll be back. Master Herbal Medicine, Psychology of Healing, lecturer, and discusses women's health issues as well. So 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Susan Weed. And Kevin, we're coming down to about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And just thought, with that remaining time, is there anything else you wanted to plug or share anything? I know you make vases and other things. Are you part of any art shows recently or any vending?
Yep,
art?
Everything's pretty much on hold while it's the holidays, but it'll be picking back up again. I also did do an update of my website that if you go over there to the suggestions tab on templeofgaia.com, you can see a plug that I put in there for Diane Arkenstone. I'm working on adding more of our guests that come on to the show the people who have content that's out there that's for sale, like music and art and that kind of stuff. And I put one up there for myself, so I have almost everything that I've created since the dawn of my efforts out there, and how you can get a copy of it if you want to as well. So that's what I've been doing recently.
And I love the new things you're making, and the frozen smoke and some of the vases and all of that. And, of course, your new book, Horizon Oracle Companion Workbook, which you can get Lulu, right?
Yeah, or just go to the website and click on the link.
Okay, even better. Well, we're coming down to 4 minutes, Kevin. I think we're going to go ahead and log out. We got a few minutes left. Thank you for joining me this evening.
Yep, it was enjoyable.
And hope you had a great holiday. I did. Great to see both sides, or all sides, I guess, of the family. And in our case, our family gets along pretty well most of the time. Though, like, so oftentimes we're nothing like our parents and all of that. But, you know, we still all get along.
Awesome.
Anyway, everybody, you've been listening to Main Street Universe, the show reminding you that the mysteries and possibilities of the universe are closer to Main Street than you may have ever imagined. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. We will be back Friday with Queen Mother Imaku doing a special Friday show. Thank you and have a great evening.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.